Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today, the day before Thanksgiving. Well, I'm sure a lot of people are out traveling today, but there are a lot of people who are listening to our show across the globe via internet or telephone, and welcome. And to those who are listening on archives, it will be a great show, and if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with Dr. Barrios, who is my guest, and myself, please feel free to send me an email. The link to my website is directly on today's show page. So today, it's a really great day. We're going to be talking about mind-body medicine, how your thoughts affect your health. Do they really affect your health? You know, when you go to the doctor and he says, "Well, you know, I don't know what's going on with you," and you say, "Well, I have a really bad headache, and you gave me medication, and it didn't work, and I keep coming back for that same medication, and it's still not working, and the doctor still doesn't know what to do." But not once does the doctor ask you, what's going on in your life? What's going on around you? Are you under stress? Are you having pressure at work? Are you having issues at home? These are all things that are otherwise affecting your health. It's just there's not always a drug for that. So you really can't take a drug to fix your home life. And you can't take a drug to fix your stress at work. But those are still causing physical symptoms. So today, Dr. Barrios is my guest, and he will be talking to us about what is stress. What is willpower? How are we even able to have the ability to change your mind? To be able to say, I can feel better. I can heal myself. I can go further. And what really does that mean? What is the subconscious mind? Hypnosis, biofeedback, all of these different terms. They seem so daunting sometimes because they're all just out there and thrown around with the mental health, you know, little tag on them. So today my guest is Dr. Alfred Barrios. He's a clinical psychologist who is an authority on the power of the word and its effects on human behavior. He has been publishing his work on hypnosis, free will, biofeedback, and positive psychology for decades. And that's not one or two decades, that's three, almost four. So he is very well versed in knowing about the power of words, its effect on human behavior. And he will be sharing that with us today. He's also the inventor of the stress control card, and author of the book Towards Greater Freedom and Happiness. So Dr. Barrios, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Jeanette. I appreciate the opportunity to share my ideas with your audience. I look forward to it.
So can you relate that, this power of just the mind over our health, as I've said in the beginning of the show, I mean, everybody will have a test of free will tomorrow. They'll be, you know, eating and saying they're not sick, and then, you know, just keep eating some more, the power of free will, right?
Oh, that's a very interesting topic, the subject of free will. I have written an article on it that answers the question, I think, for the first time, is there free will or isn't there free will? People that are interested can go to my website and read the article in the article section. People want the answer, I can give it to them right now. The answer is that all humans have the potential for free will. If you define free will, as I do, as control over your subconscious automatic programming that is usually so deeply entrenched, it's very hard to change. That's why people find their biggest problem in life is it's very hard to change. You give them the best advice in the world sometimes, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Not that they don't want to change. It's just that it's very difficult for most people to overcome these strong, deeply implanted subconscious programs. But the potential is there, and the ability comes from what I call concentrated thought. In a state of heightened belief, which is, by the way, how I define hypnosis, a state of heightened belief, the mind is much more focused. And the reason being, I define belief as concentration on a thought to the exclusion of anything that would contradict that thought. So when you're in a state of heightened belief, your mind is very focused on the thought that you're trying to program in, and it blocks out the interference from all these negative programs that usually keep you from going forward. So in a nutshell, that's how I answer the question of is there free will. So everybody's got the potential, but they have to develop it. And there are different ways. Hypnosis is one way. Religion, people who are deeply religious have a heightened state of belief or faith. They also have greater free will. So it's an interesting topic.
Well, Dr. Berrios, can you tell us how you got started so long ago, and even considering the choice that you've made in all of your research? I mean, not everybody decides to really go down this track to be able to help others and make a difference.
Well, one of the things I teach, by the way, in my program, which I call the SPC, or Self-Programmed Control Program, is a set of positive attitudes. Always look for the positive in even the worst of situations. And I got my first degree in science from Caltech, and actually in chemistry. But my first job as a chemical engineer didn't go too well. Fortunately for me, I got fired. And while I was on unemployment insurance that summer, I read a book on hypnosis, and I started hypnotizing all my friends and family members, and found that it was a fantastic tool for helping people. I couldn't believe it. And so I decided I'm going to go back, get my PhD in psychology, and I did my dissertation on trying to understand why hypnosis was such a powerful tool, so that other people, especially in the medical community, would no longer ignore it. I felt that they were ignoring it, and I thought if I could explain it scientifically to them, they would be more receptive to it. And I actually, in my dissertation, I wrote a theory of hypnosis, which is also on my website in the article section, by the way. And then I started eventually applying many of my techniques to helping people. There's so many different areas that it can be applied to. But I felt that the main value of the hypnotic approach was in the fact that it gave people this greater choice, this greater free will, this greater ability to change. It facilitated reprogramming, as I call it. And I feel that's the number one problem that most people have today. You can give them the best advice in the world. You know, you better stop smoking. It'll eventually kill you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I should stop. And 2 weeks later, they're smoking as much again. So I felt that people need this tool that will help them to absorb all this good advice that these self-help gurus are giving out. That's the main problem, I think, with the self-help approach these days. People can give you the best advice in the world, but implementing it is another subject.
You know, and also, too, when you started out, those were the decades of what we would call the hippie decades, and, you know, drug use and when they started to say things like hypnosis or meditation or different ideas like that, it kind of takes a back seat to that woo kind of theories. You know, I mean, they were very, medical community is very deeply entrenched at that time of, you know, they know all of the answers and a drug is going to fix you, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's been one of the problems holding what I consider the mind-body approach to healing back for so long. I think medicine has to look more into this mind-body approach in addition to the physical approach. There are some physical approaches that are definitely helpful, and that's why I believe in what is called integrative medicine, which is a combination of the medical and the mental approach. But there are just too many illnesses that are caused or exacerbated by mental factors. I mean, you mentioned the stress or diseases, heart disease, high blood pressure, asthma, type 2 diabetes, even aging and Alzheimer's, all are affected by stress. And sure, you can give people a tranquilizer and it might help them temporarily, but it's not really going to get rid of the underlying cause of the stress. So we need to have a more systematic approach. And I'd like to think that I've developed a very effective systematic approach with my SPC program. It combines so many different factors. But there are many ways that the mind plays a part in affecting the body illness-wise. Stress diseases is one. Then there are addictions. The addictions occur to a great extent due to mental factors. People become addicted to certain substances because, number one, they tend to help them deal with stress. They tend to relax them. They also provide a source of pleasure, which everybody would like to have more of. And then the other problem, too, is that these habits become so deeply entrenched, as I mentioned earlier, they become automatic, subconscious, and by subconscious I mean below conscious control, so that it's very hard for people to break free of them. So we need an effective means of giving people this greater control, and that's where things like hypnosis come in. And of course, my SPC program is a variation of hypnosis and biofeedback. So we need to have these approaches if we want to deal with addictions. There are other reasons why we should go into the mind-body approach, I feel. Just the very fact that certain treatments can actually be deadly for some people. A lot of people often die under surgery, or when it comes to medication, sometimes they get the wrong medications. And in the case of a treatment, the treatments for cancer, for instance, very often the treatments themselves are what I call, or what is called, immunosuppressive. Like chemotherapy can tend to suppress the immune system. Radiation does the same. So the more we start using mental approaches to remove the underlying causes of many of these diseases, the less problems we're going to have along the lines I just mentioned.
Well, I think to the listeners, what we've spoken about before is also, you know, if you say, I have a really bad stomach ache and your stress is affecting that stomach ache, then eventually you could potentially end up with gastric issues. You see, so your mind can affect your stomach issues and make them better or worse. And by making them better or worse, it creates your stomach just doesn't function correctly. And people say, well, I don't really understand that, so I'm just clarifying this a little simpler sometimes for the listeners. And I try to relate it also to, you know, like when you meet a new guy or a new boyfriend and, you know, everything is great and all of a sudden you're losing weight, your eyes look bright, your skin is doing great, and it just seems like everything's working wonderfully. Well, that's because your attitude, your beliefs, and the way you're feeling at that time are creating that change in your body to work efficiently. But if you look at people just prior to divorce or after or prior to losing someone or the death of a loved one, they look like their body has decided to quit and it's finished. And, you know, when you think about if it's looking like that, it's decided to finish, it's, you know, when you get that phone call that someone is sick or you get that phone call that someone's died, first thing that happens is you get this slamming in your chest. You get a piercing, you know, pain in your heart. You get a terrible headache. You get a huge stomach ache. You don't eat or drink for 4 or 5 days. You don't sleep. So your body has to react to your thoughts. So if we can say that our thoughts and our body are separate, what Dr. Barrios and I are both saying is that there is no way you can separate them. It is the same.
Right, and I think what helps to get this idea across to people of the power of the ability of thoughts to affect the body is if they understand the scientific explanations for it. And I think the best explanation comes from the work of Ivan Pavlov, and not so much his work with the dogs and salivation, but his later theory expanding his work to humans, where he talked about the power of higher order conditioning, the ability of speech, as he called it, and inner speech or thoughts to affect the body. And this comes about through a process of conditioning. Let's take the simple example of a lemon. The taste of lemon has been associated often enough with the sight of a lemon or the word or thought of a lemon that it now can come to evoke the actual same response as biting into a lemon. And what I usually do when I'm introducing my ideas about the power of thoughts affect the body is I give this example and I ask people to stop for a moment and vividly imagine biting into a sour, tart, tangy lemon and taste that tingling sensation on the tip of their tongue and squeeze some more of that lemon juice onto their tongue to they can really feel the juices flowing. And I then ask the audience, what did they see happening automatically? And almost everybody says, well, my mouth was watering. And that's a physiological response produced by a mere word or a thought, in this case a thought, lemon. So Pavlov is the one who originally talked in these terms, and all words and thoughts have this ability to affect the body. But the question is, of course, how to channel that power or that potential. Sometimes it's not that easy. And you have to have what I consider a systematic approach to tapping into that power. And that's what hypnosis is, and that's what my program, Self-Program Control, is. It produces what I call a state of heightened belief. You go through a series of mental exercises, like the one we just went through, where I show people how words and thoughts can produce automatic responses, and over a series of these suggestions, a very powerful state of heightened belief is created, belief in the power of thoughts to affect your behavior and your body. And in that state of heightened belief, the mind is much more focused, because I define belief as concentration on a thought to the exclusion of anything that would contradict that thought. So we can, in this highly focused state, then program in whatever goals we want to or affect whatever physiological responses we want to. The mind is very powerful in this concentrated state. I like to use the laser beam analogy and to get across how powerful the mind can be. But anyway, so I just wanted to make sure people understood how thoughts could affect the body. And I wanted to make another comment along the lines that you were talking just previously. The immune system plays a big part in most diseases or fighting most diseases. And when a person develops a negative state of mind, like a state of hopelessness about life, in essence, their will to live is being decreased. That, I feel, directly affects the immune system. And this is how the mind also can play a part in causing many diseases and conversely in giving you the potential to reverse those diseases. And hopelessness is a key factor, for instance, in lowering the immune response to cancer. And there's two types of hopelessness that come into play, I feel, when it comes to cancer. Of course, there's the death sentence type of hopelessness created when a person is given the diagnosis of cancer. It's almost like saying, you have cancer, you're going to die. And that in itself can further suppress the immune system. And then there's a general type of hopelessness that a lot of people have towards life. They're not, their job isn't what they really wanted. They're not getting any satisfaction from it, or their relationships are not going anywhere. And the hopelessness factor is even greater there. So if you are going to use an approach like I propose, the mind-body approach to healing cancer, it's basically aimed at removing the negative mental or psychological factors that tend to suppress the immune system. Hypnosis and SPC are very powerful programs for allowing people to remove those negative factors. Because, again, it's hard for people to change. So if you had someone who had cancer and you thought you could cure them by saying, oh, listen, you'll be just fine. Just think positive believe you can be healed. That might work for a few people, but I think you have to go about it, I think, more systematically, teaching people how to have a greater sense of belief and be able to reprogram their subconscious mind so that they can get rid of those negative programs suppressing their immune system.
I think there is so much information that has not been shared with the medical community on the topics of cancer. We say about healing, you know, so many people, when the doctor says you have cancer, just sit there and like they're just squashed to the floor, I would say, and
right,
that just takes over their life. But then they just open themselves and they just let someone else take care of them, usually the doctor with his medications or his drugs or his treatments. And we wonder why those people, many years later, tend to have a recurrence. And then at some point, be the missing factor, is that they had not chosen themselves to take responsibility for the condition their body is in or condition of healing. In other words, to change something, because, you know, the doctors and their treatments can only go so far, but when it recurs, you have these patients who are out cursing God and everybody else, and God didn't have anything to do with it. You know, maybe you have to do something too.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think religious people believe in God and the healing powers of God, if they believe strongly enough, they can actually use that power to heal their bodies. But there's an important point here that has to be made. You can have temporary healing through just the power of belief, but unless you do something about eliminating the underlying negative factors, mental factors that are suppressing the immune system, you're going to have a recurrence of the illness. And that's why I feel it's important to have a complete approach, a holistic approach, not just, you can have the person visualize the healing, the immune system dissolving away the cancer, and you might get a temporary healing. But if you want to be sure that that healing will be permanent, you've got to do a thorough search and find as many of the negative factors suppressing the immune system there, and then reprogram accordingly so that you can be permanently clear. I learned this a lesson the hard way with a patient that I worked with, a cancer patient. She had been given 2 weeks to live when I first met her, and I only had one session with her. It was a four-hour session where I taught her my techniques, and I showed her the power of the mind to affect the body, and she responded so well that the next morning when the doctor went in to check the size of the tumor, she had an obstruction of the intestines that couldn't be operated on, and that's why the doctor had only given her 2 weeks to live. And he would come in to check to see how big the tumor was. And when he went in this next morning, his mouth dropped. The tumor had completely dissolved, completely disappeared. So the treatment, the initial meeting, was very effective. But there was no follow-up. And about a year, all her cancer did disappear shortly thereafter. And she was fine for a year. Then she had another emotional upheaval about a year later involving the same emotional problems that had suppressed her immune system. And this time I wasn't there, and she succumbed. So that's why I highly recommend it. It needs to be a thorough approach where you make sure you also get rid of any underlying negative programs that are continuing to suppress the immune system.
Can you give us some information about your program, what the name of it is, how it, a general idea of how it works?
Well, sure, of course. as I said, it's I call it self-programmed control, or SPC. Initially, I was calling it self-hypnosis, which it is in a way. But that term, self-hypnosis, and hypnosis in general, has a lot of misconceptions associated with it, negative connotations. And I decided it was necessary to come up with a better term, one that is more correct, actually. So I developed that term. I also realized that there are ways of increasing this belief factor even more than using the standard hypnosis. Now, the standard hypnosis often involves a lot of suggestions involving deep relaxation, and that helps in many ways, of course. But I then started using what I call biofeedback type techniques, where I use techniques that would produce immediate feedback. A person could actually see the mind, the powerful mind in action. And for instance, one of the techniques that I developed, I call the magic pendulum technique, where a person holds a little paperclip on a thread, rests the elbow on the arm of a chair. Paperclip is motionless to begin with, and I then tell him to focus on the thought that the pendulum is going to start to swing from left to right. And this thought, expectation that the pendulum is going to move from left to right, causes a minute movement of the hand in that direction, imperceptible movement, which is then amplified by the pendulum. Now, that amplification by the pendulum is similar to the amplification that takes place with biofeedback devices. That's why they're so effective, because they pick up minute changes in relaxation and feed it back to the person so the person can see, oh, it's working. By thinking relax, they're becoming more relaxed. So this immediate feedback approach can be very effective. I then suggest a change in the motion. I say, now think circle, and almost automatically it starts moving in a circle, et cetera. And as you go through my series of suggestions with a positive response to each, this belief factor is increased all the more. So that's what my SPC techniques are about. I have a number of them, and I tell people I have a number of SPC techniques. You find the one that works best for you, meaning the one that increases your belief factor to the most. So I did, as I said, I got a lot of these ideas from doing my dissertation and writing my theory of hypnosis, and then I was given a chance to apply these ideas almost immediately when I graduated and got my PhD in 1969 from UCLA. And I went to work at East Los Angeles Junior College to help students who were flunking out of school, dropping out as they refer to it, reverse that. And I felt that my SPC program, actually I was calling it self-hypnosis at the time, and then the administration quickly got me to come up with a euphemism, self-program control. But I basically used that approach to help them break free of a negative mindset that was causing them to continue to fail. A lot of these dropout students drop out of school because they've had many early failures for one reason or another, and they eventually don't believe they can succeed, and that belief is what causes them to eventually fail and drop out. So I was able to reverse that with my SPC program. And then once I had them in this receptive state, then I introduced them to my stress control techniques, because stress is another factor that can interfere with their learning abilities. And I also taught them positive mental attitudes, which are also important to reduce stress. And then the third factor, I taught them learning techniques, study techniques. So I was able, with the combination of these three factors, the SPC, the stress control biofeedback card, and the learning techniques, I was able to reduce the dropout rate from 56% to 16%. And not only that, but I found that the program was now also helping them to develop life skills, and they were able as a result to break free of things like addictions. And I had almost 80 to 90% success rate with students breaking free of addictions. And this brings me to an important benefit of the SPC program when it comes to helping students. I feel this is a great way of getting this type of mind-body program to as many people as possible and in a earlier stage as possible. They not only get to be better students, but they also can live a healthier and happier life, stress-free, more stress-free, and free of addictions, more positive, and their immune system stronger. So Anyway, that was the beginning of my SPC program, and I've applied it in many different areas now, not just school, but also areas like work incentive programs to help people on welfare be able to break free of their negative mindsets and get and hold jobs, and on and on. It's got so many possibilities. Mm-hmm. The main reason being that it supplies two things. It gives people a tool for facilitating positive change, because, face it, you know, most people, it's very hard to change. You know, you have all these expressions, can't teach an old dog new tricks, habits are hard to break, etc. So that's important. But then the other important aspect of my approach is it also provides what I call the positive direction component. I mean, you can give a person a tool for increasing their belief factor, but if they apply that belief in the wrong direction, it can work against them as well. So you got to combine it with a positive direction component as well. And that's what my SPC program is. It's not just these SPC techniques for facilitating change. It's also providing advice that now that they can really apply and incorporate that will help them to become more self-actualized, lead a more fulfilling, happier, self-actualized life. That's why I'm excited about the program. I feel it can help so many people.
Well, Dr. Berrios, does this program, when you're working with someone, is it a very extensive program, or is it like days or weeks or hours or months or years, or is it just one or two sessions? I mean, what would someone expect if they called you for some help?
Yeah, that's, by the way, that's another advantage of this program. In my dissertation, I did a review of the literature comparing the effectiveness, for instance, of hypnotherapy and psychoanalysis, which was a very popular form of therapy at the time and still is to a certain extent. And I found that with psychoanalysis, it took an average of 600 sessions.
Wow.
That's over 5, 10, or 15 years.
Yeah.
And they only had a success rate of 38%.
Yikes.
And with hypnosis, the average number of sessions was 6.
Mm.
And the success rate was 93%. So I knew
that. Is that six sessions with the same topic?
Yeah, well,
or
six
could
sessions
it, like,
is
morph
an average. I have actually gotten results in three sessions. So it's not going to be very expensive. Most hypnotherapists would charge something like maybe $100 an hour, which may sound like a lot, but not if you think in terms of only six sessions on the average compared to 600 sessions. A lot of people have been able to get a lot out of just reading my book, Towards Greater Freedom and Happiness. I have the whole SPC program presented there, including the techniques. And I'm working on a book now called Breaking Free with SPC, The Road to Self-Actualization, which is a updated version of Towards Greater Freedom and Happiness that will be presented also digitally. So in other words, people will have access to my powerful SPC techniques at a fingertip. By the way, speaking of my SPC techniques, there is one very powerful one that people can go to my website and try it. And they will be amazed at how powerful it can be. It's called the concentration spiral technique. And it is the type of technique that will be at your fingertips when you read the new version of my book. But right now, the people reading Towards Greater Freedom and Happiness can also tap into the digital format by going to my website. By the way, my website again address is www.spccenter.com, spccenter.com, and go to the article. The concentration spiral is right there on the home page. But they have to take it seriously. It lasts about 13 minutes, and sections in the technique has to emphasize or to point out how powerfully concentrated your mind has become in the state. I say now, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. At the count of 3, I want you to look away at a particular object and see it become actually magnified. And I usually tell people to have a plant nearby or a vase of flowers or some solid object like that. And to not just take it as a curiosity, but actually be prepared to go through the 13 minutes of the technique. And there's some very positive suggestions that I've also included there, general suggestions like having greater control over the stress, being more positive, et cetera. So,
we have about 10 minutes left, Dr. Barrios. Could you please tell us about your stress cards? Because I know that is another important part of your program, and it is very easy for people to be able to make changes and see the results, correct?
Very, 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 very true. I'm glad you pointed that out. The stress card, if people haven't already seen it, they might have because there's 100 million of them on the planet already. I introduced it back in 1984 nationally here. And here's how it works. It's a biofeedback device, a thermal biofeedback device, which measures your fingertip temperature in terms of color. You put your thumb on this little square of liquid crystal on the card, and depending on how warm your fingertips are, the card will change colors accordingly. The more relaxed you are, the warmer your hands. This is based on the fight-or-flight mechanism. And the card will change from black to red to green to blue as you become more relaxed as the temperature rises. And it's not just a stress measuring tool. That's one of the functions. But the most important function is it's a stress control training device. On the back of the card, there's 4 very effective relaxation techniques, shortcut relaxation techniques, that a person can go through, one or more of them, whenever they're stressed, and work on turning that card blue each time they find themselves stressed. And over a period of time, that relaxation response will become automatic. So it's a training tool to condition in an automatic relaxation response. And it's also a self-empowerment tool because with it a person can see that through the power of their mind, they can actually affect their stress level. They can affect their blood flow to their fingers by going through these techniques. And in a sense, the stress card is a microcosm of my SPC program. The key is producing immediate feedback, showing people the power of thoughts to affect their body, and that by going through these procedures, they can magnify this effect even more. So the only disadvantage to the stress card is that it's so inexpensive, and you know how people are. They tend to judge things by how much they have to pay for them, but it's actually more effective than these electronic biofeedback devices that cost in the thousands of dollars. Why? Because it's portable, and you can use it whenever and wherever you're stressed to control that stress level. And it's a major part of my program, especially the stress control program. And by the way, a stress card comes with every copy of my book, Towards Greater Freedom and Happiness. And you ask, you know, how expensive things are. The book sells for $10.95 with shipping. Total comes to $15. But a person can learn the program through the book, or if they want to contact me, I can work with them using Skype wherever they are. You know, that's proven to be very effective. I work with people in Europe. In fact, about a few months ago, I worked with a young lady, I think she was 27 years old, who had the beginning stages of cervical cancer. And I think I had two or three sessions via Skype with her. And she was scheduled to go in 2 weeks later to have this operation to make sure, to get rid of whatever cancer was there. And in that 2 weeks' time, she made a complete transformation. And even she was amazed at how much happier and fulfilled she was. It changed her whole mindset. So in a way, you could say one of the positive side effects of all this for her was she was able to change her life around. The cancer actually was a trigger to getting her to do something about changing her negative state of mind. And I was able to do this via Skype, and that's what I like about the Internet now. So and it only took two or three sessions with her.
It sounds wonderful. You know, and it is much easier when you think, as I guess probably in the last few decades, I can always remember clients or other people telling me they're going in for counseling and they're going in for therapy and they go three times a week and they've been going for years and they're still the same, and all they've really had change is that their medications got changed or they were upped. And how different and simpler it would be to be able to just change your mind or change your view or your subconscious or your being to be able to help your body heal, right?
Yes. Again, I think a person has to take a systematic approach to building this belief factor and to using it on a systematic basis.
Right.
I had my students program or go through what I call a visualization or self-programming session daily, 15 minutes a day, where they, of course, they would first have a list of their goals that they want to work on, and then they would visualize themselves in typical situations involving their problem or their goal, and now visualize themselves changing and producing the positive response. But, of course, before they started the visualization program, they had gone through my SPC techniques to make them fully aware of the power of visualization or the power of thoughts to produce these changes, this reprogramming. And systematically then, they were able to accomplish their goals in just a matter of weeks, and the changes were amazing. But, yeah, I think there's so many reasons why medicine could use this a mind-body approach. Recently, for instance, we've had a lot of these killings by schizophrenics with guns who shot up students and people, and there's been a cry recently, well, gee, we need to do more about these crazies, these mental problems out there. And what I say is, yeah, we definitely have to do something, but it's got to be an effective approach. Unfortunately, with psychiatry, I hate to say this, but they have relied more on medications and to deal with the problem. And I feel that these medications often are just masking the symptoms and not really getting rid of the underlying problems. And I recently wrote an article presenting my theory of schizophrenia and how to apply that theory to lead to a cure of schizophrenia using hypnosis or self-hypnosis. And I'd be glad to send people a copy of that paper if they sent me an email. And by the way, my email address, you might want to write it down. It's not too hard to remember. S-P-C... Oh, let me start over here. That's my website. The email address is stresscard@AOL.com. Stresscard@AOL.com. You know, that little stress card I've been talking about, singular, okay. stresscard@AOL.com. And I'll be glad to send them information.
You know, I think it was such an eye-opening concept so many decades ago about making a change in your life and in your mind when all the hippies started to meditate, and we take it further now, and now almost everybody knows the word meditation. They know the word hypnosis, and even children are starting to learn these techniques. So if it's taken you and your research and your books and your techniques all these decades to help others, I'm sure your work will, you know, go further, and everybody will be doing this type process. So
yeah,
I think
hoping,
it is really a good addition to, you know, to the medical community to be able to see that.
Yeah, I think the internet is going to play a big part in getting my word out, or the word out on programs like mine. Especially if I use a digital format. As I mentioned, my new book, Breaking Free, will have that digital format, and people can actually see immediate results right at their fingertips. So
yeah,
we have to get the word out, and I think, again, one of the key factors is to present it on a rational level, not just say this works, but explain why it works, as I've tried to do today in this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for the medical community. You can't use a medical pseudo-scientific type approach like energy waves or quantum physics. Unfortunately, some people, I won't mention any names, like to use that approach to explain how thoughts can affect the body. And I say there's a simpler explanation, and you always have to go with the simpler explanation, and that's the Pavlovian explanation of higher order conditioning. Words have the ability to affect the body through a process of conditioning, like the word lemon produces salivation, etc. So we need that, and we also need to give people simpler, easier techniques to use at work immediately. You know how people are. They have to have immediate results, or they lose interest. Maybe that's why they're so accustomed to using medication, the aspirin for headaches, etc. So that's why I think my approach is going to take hold, because it does provide both the technique and the means for facilitating change, and also the positive direction that can be applied to producing the positive results that you want to achieve. You need both.
Yes, I do believe you need both. Well, I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today. It does always put another spin on the words. I think our listeners need to hear the same topic from different guests, in different words, in different settings and situations, and then take from that and pick and choose that which will work for them. So I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today and sharing all of your work that you've done.
Well, it's been a pleasure. By the way, I want to mention one other advantage to the use of this mind-body approach. You know, we hear these days about the debt, the government debt, and how it's going skyward, and why can't we do something about it, especially the costs, the medical costs, the Medicare costs. Well, this is another advantage of a program like SPC, a mind-body approach. By preventing a lot of these serious diseases, you can avoid all these expenses. So maybe that'll motivate the government to look into this more.
Money always talks, right?
Pardon me?
Money always seems to talk.
Yeah, I agree. That's a definite motivator.
Right, it is. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure, and hopefully I'll hear from as many people as possible. And as I said, I've given my email address, so feel free to contact me at stresscard@AOL.com.
Thank you so much.
Okie-do.
So if you'd like more information about Dr. Berrios and his work, the links to his book, the link to his website, and the link to the stress cards are directly on today's show page. You just need to click on the word where it's highlighted, and it will take you directly to that page if you may have missed how to get to that link. It's been great having you with us today, talking about hypnosis, biofeedback, free will, power of the mind and your health. You know, it's going to have to come down to something sooner or later, because drugs and treatments just aren't working these days. But if the ones that are working will get you to a point, perhaps learning these techniques that Dr. Berrios is working with, and give him a call or send him an email. It will definitely bring you that extra little kick that you need to really clear what's really been holding you back from being a healthy person you were meant to be. Thank you so much for being with us today, and until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day.